The following original talk show is rated NU. No usury abuses tolerated. Some content may be offensive to term life insurance plan owners. Chestertonian discretion is advised. They say money is the root of all evil. But on the True Money Show, you'll learn that the Federal Reserve is the root of all evil money. The True Money Show with David Simpson. Exclusively on the Veritas Radio Network's Crusade Channel.
Lost all my good friends and nowhere to go. I get my hands on the dollar again. I'll hang on to it till that old
Christopher is wise beyond his years. He must know when I'm having a bluesy moment, and he throws in a little bit of Eric Clapton or Keb Moe or who's our other blues guy that we always throw? I can't remember. There's another one out there, I think. Yes, he knows. He sees my heart. I told you he whispered sweet nothings in my ear during the show, didn't I? Welcome back to the True Money Show on the Crusade Channel, Veritas Radio Network, King Size Truth. From radio size speakers, I'm going to get back to all my topics. I still got to do the retirement ambush. We did the financial weather report, but this day in money history, and also answer. I'll be answering my own financial question of the day, which is today: where does government get its money, and is that an unlimited process? Those are the two questions. 844-527-8723 is how you call in. We have a caller on the line. I made him wait too long. I'm sorry. I'll get to you in just a minute, Eric. And then also you can email me, david@tffco.com. So we'll get back to the financial question today. I got a lot more topics to discuss with you guys. After my show at 1 o'clock, we have an airing of Dr. Greg Carpenter's Is he doctor yet? I guess he's doctor, isn't he? Yeah, I think so. Reverse deception. And so lots of good stuff coming up here on the Crusade Channel. So hang tight and stick with us. And, you know, we'll expand programming as we are able to do mo. Let's talk to Eric in Baton Rouge. Eric, are you calling in to answer the financial question of the day? And you've been such a patient waiter. What's going on, Mr. Eric?
Well, I'm just having one of them days. But yes, I can answer your question. The government gets money from you and me and everybody out there, and it's unlimited until things blow up.
So it's not. So in truth, it's not unlimited, right?
I agree. And no, it's not unlimited. And that's kind of the same question you had weeks ago about what is true money.
Yeah.
Because it's just in the value as to what they think is worth something, and no. I mean, anyway, I don't want to get lost in thought because I could probably go on for hours.
Well, go ahead, Eric.
I'm sorry. I called you months ago, and I'm new to the Catholic religion, and I'm ecstatic that I am, that I finally found the truth. And again, thanks primarily to you guys. But I told you that I took my hands off the steering wheel, and I guess the car went off into the weeds and dishes and ditch and trees, and I'm kind of happy I'm there, but I'm trying to hold on, and I'm probably wrong for that. Am I making any sense?
You are, and so let me see if I can interject a few things that might help you, and you tell me if I'm helping you or if I don't have a clue what I'm talking about. So first of all, you said thanks to Mike and I and everybody else over here, and I appreciate the thanks, but you know, as best as I can say this, whatever ability that I had to be an instrument for in God's hands, I hope I am. And so all the thanks go to him. If I happen to be some kind of conduit for that helps someone else to find God and to find our Lord and to rectify their lives, then I'm glad that I'm an instrument, but I'm certainly not the cause. So give the glory to the right place, which is God himself. Second thing is, when you, as they say, let go and let God, okay, There's a multiple of things that can happen. You're actually a little further down the trajectory than normal. Normally what happens is you first of all, normally have a very intense elation. and gratitude and going, oh my gosh, I never knew I could experience this kind of freedom and this kind of love that's so true and so profound and so real and so everlasting. And normally somebody will stay in that phase for quite some time. It sounds like that time was cut a little short for you. And so the next phase, Eric, usually, not always, but usually is God will is going to send you a few, I don't want to call them torments. He just, as best I can describe it, because I'm not a spiritual master by any stretch, but he says, okay, I see, you know, you like being a son, you like being my son. I was giving you all those gifts of that, all that joy and all that happiness. Now I'm going to take those away, or I'm going to turn my back a little bit, and I'm going to let you experience what it's like without me. So when you sense that, you'll feel a certain desperation, and I want to see what you do in those moments. I think that's what you're entering. Does that sound even close to what you're describing?
Yeah, except I think, yes, I totally agree with you, and I mean, without getting detailed, but yes, and looks like right now, I've never agreed with bankruptcy. I've never agreed. I've had a lifetime of manipulating and balancing and everything that you speak of. But right now, it's like I'd be happy to walk away from all of it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I completely understand natural, civil, divine circumstances, situations, events. And these are things I've recently learned. But it's like, I mean, I know these opportunities are open for me for bankruptcy. But I've got, I mean, I do it for myself. But I've got still family members that are relying on me.
Right.
So I'm so freaking torn with, and, you know, it's like everything's ready to just disappear.
Well, Eric, on that,
how to save it.
On that issue, and I'm going to give you a hard answer because I think you need it, right?
All right.
So we all live in a corrupt society. There's no way around it. We can't say, oh, well, if I lived in Oahu somehow or another, I could carve myself out this little idyllic world and nothing would bother. No, there is no such place as that. When we were banished from Eden, our Lord, God told us, you know, you will earn your living from the sweat of your brow and you will toil. And the reason we toil is because it's been corrupted. The whole nature has been corrupted. Okay? So now, fast forward a couple of thousand years, and Eric is on the earth. And Eric was, before he knew anything else about the world, or especially about Revelation and the true God, he got himself not just already corrupted, but really embroiled in all the corruption. In other words, you're like part and parcel of it, right? That's what you're complaining of, financing things and chasing the so-called American dream, and maybe maybe desirous of sexual temptations, and who knows? I mean, I'm not going to try to pretend I know your life. I'm just saying that we've all run that course where we not only were in the corrupted world, but we like bit a larger bit of the apple than even Eve did. We started swallowing the thing hook, line, and sinker. Okay, now we go, okay, wait a second, but I've seen the light, and I'm looking back, and I can say, well, those are a bunch of errors I made, but I would never made them if I'd have been moral at that moment. And why do I have to keep enduring the punishments of that of those choices when it's a corruption and it should even exist, some of these things, the temptations, the financing, the fake money, and on and on and on. And my answer to you is this, because to be honorable, we always have to do the right thing. And so if the right thing means living up to our debts that we don't even think should be our debts, but we know that an honest, honorable man does pay his debts, then I think we try our level best to do so. Now, if you literally can't, let's just say you lost your job or whatever else, that's why the law is there to say, look, we don't have debtors' prisons. We don't put people in penury just because they owe money. We can wash it away in certain circumstances. But the honorable man is going to try his level best to do what he knows is the right thing, even if some of those things seem a little unright, like when you're paying back a credit card company that you know has already made 15 times the money that they lent you. You go, wait a second, that's usury. That's wrong. I should have to honor usury. Well, you're not. You're honoring your obligations, and then you should eschew usury forevermore after that. Does that make any sense at all?
Yes, it does. And that's what I'm debating and fighting over myself with. because for 20 years I made stupid decisions and I knew I was doing it. I blamed it on other people, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
But since I've found the realization I had, I was in the process of trying to, okay, I'm getting things straight. I'm going to get that taken care of. And then a family member went sick or ill.
Yeah.
And I lost well over 50% of my income.
Yeah.
And I have no choice to that. And then today I called on a few stupid loans that I could probably go ahead and grab. And they're offering me $40,000, $50,000 right off the bat. I'm thinking, okay, well, I'll go ahead and take that, put it in the bank, manipulate it, pay my debts, do this, do that. And I'm like, no, that's all wrong. It's just, I mean, I know what's right, and I know I want to, it's just, I just got so many of these that I just,
yeah.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
No. So what you're describing is a very real circumstance. And Eric, you know, if you want to talk to me privately and in more detail, you know how to reach me, david@tffco.com, and I'd be happy to talk to you. As a matter of fact, you're right here in my state. You're in Baton Rouge. I'm what, an hour away from you. We could meet somewhere and just have a cup of coffee and talk it all out. What I would say is this: if what you're planning on doing with the loans, for example, if you say, well, David, they're legitimate loans, and I'm adding to my problem because I'm borrowing money, but nothing I'm going to do with the borrowed money is illegal or immoral. I have no problem with you pursuing that route. Do we like the usurious nature of our financing system? No. But there are technical times when you can borrow money. The church is not opposed to all borrowing of money. Matter of fact, I read a very incredible, very interesting article about usury and the love of money from the Catholic perspective just this weekend. And I'm going to cover that in a future show because it was that good. And I'm probably going to get the guy who wrote it on my show if I can. So there are lots of problems in the money world. But like, for instance, there's lots of problems in every bit of our world. I mean, my wife has trouble finding out where to shop these days because every corporation is caving into every sort of evil. Where are you going to buy your fuel from? All the fuel companies are basically managed by the same megalomaniacs that are ruining the world and all their bombings and communistic enterprises and unsettling of governments, you know, whether it be Chevron or Shell. So you almost can't buy gas without participating in evil some way or shape or form. So at those points, when it's unavoidable, this is what the moral theologians will tell you, when you cannot avoid being, I guess, complicit in the evil, then you're not culpable by doing so because it is truly unavoidable. But you should be working to create a society that stops that situation where evil is unavoidable. That's kind of what the Veritas Radio Network is about. We're trying to say, look, there is a better way, and we can reorder society if we so choose. But we're not going to do it if we keep following the same paths. And I see what you're saying. You're saying, well, I can't seem to break some of these paths. No, sometimes right now, Eric, you literally cannot break those paths. And you don't. And you're not morally bound to do so because you cannot break them.
Just keep on trying to do the right thing and doing the best you can, which I agree with.
That's right. And staying in a state of prayer, right? Staying in a state of grace. And then in any time that you can shed any ounce of that evil, you do. You absolutely do. But when you're hit with circumstances like you're doing, and by the way, you know, this is not funny. I'm laughing because I'm thinking about my dear friend Mike Church. Every time Mike takes a step, it's like 800 pounds of weight gets dropped on his head. And he's like, oh, man, I don't want to go anymore. Because the devil jumps on you with both feet. He's got the whips, he's got the chains, he's got the whole shebang out ready. Anybody who's trying to move up the hill, believe me, there are major stones being thrown at you. Now, what do you do with that, sir? Do we always have the strength to just withstand the stones? Do we always have the wisdom to navigate the perfect trail up the mountain? The answer is no, no, and no. Sometimes all we do is we just put our hands together, we close our eyes, and we beg God, please, please give me the strength. Please give me the peace and the wisdom to navigate this thing. And Lord, I'm sorry when I let you down. He knows we're going to. My goodness, every one of his followers let him down. every one of them.
I've been praying the rosaries every morning, and I've been I've been taking care of that, and most of my answers have been answered through God, and I totally appreciate that. It's still just so confusing to sit here and try and go, okay, well, I can do it this way, but then I'm shown that no, that's not the way to do it. But either way, I hope I'm good radio. And if you don't mind, I can also answer Mike's question from earlier this morning.
What's that?
I have very few, I called them friends throughout my life,
yeah.
A lot of acquaintances. And once I started listening to you guys and trying to pass it on, my acquaintances kept coming back to me saying the one thing was arrogant. They were saying, I don't want to change Mike. I don't want to change any of it because the way he speaks got through to me. But everybody that they said he was arrogant, and they wouldn't listen to somebody like that. I think it's more that the fact that they were hearing the truth and couldn't handle it. So I don't know if that answers this question this morning, and I'm sorry to make that turn on you.
No, no, that's fine. So word on the street is that Mike's arrogant.
The individuals I knew and tried to hand this along to, I even tried to give them free apps and stuff, but, show them how to do it. And they said, they listen, and they said, no, he's arrogant.
So I'm like, I'm not attacking you, Eric, because you know.
No, that's fine.
But,
that's fine.
But so they would turn on Howard Stern and listen to the worst form of cursing and sexual degeneracy and immorality and whatever else. And that's all funny and stuff, I guess, right? But a guy out of his heart, just growing out of his heart, just spurts out in a strong and passionate and manly way, I believe the truth of the Catholic faith. A guy does that, that's off-putting.
It amazed me, too. It amazes me because, I mean, it's been a slow process. Mike was saying things that actually, picked in the back of my brain and was like, hey, wait a minute. That makes sense. That makes sense. You used to know that. Hey, you thought that way. Hey. And then it just kind of continued on. That's when I quit drinking. And anyway, and then it's just like I started trying to, hey, you guys need to listen to this. You guys need to know, and boy, I kept getting, it's just anyway.
Well,
I don't know if that helps or hurts.
Well, if someone thinks you're arrogant, obviously it always hurts. I will just say this. I know Mike personally. I've known him for, we're going on 8 years now, I think. And I don't see an arrogance. I see a sincere desire to change his own life, to love others, to help them see it, and to build a better world. And but listen, I don't know.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I've never seen it in him. I mean, I know he can be a little bit abrasive and abusive, but it's not in a negative form or way. It's just, they just can't handle hearing something that's so truthful. And
Well,
I'm in Baton Rouge, so traffic, I'm going to really get lost in thought. I do that anyway.
Well, listen, Eric, thank you for calling, as always. I appreciate my friend. And don't hesitate to email me, david@tffco. I'll come to Baton Rouge and see your brother. My mother-in-law lives over there. We'll have a cup of coffee. And this is not, you are not traveling an easy road. None of us are. Matter of fact, they say that modernism, which is the heresy we're living under, modernism is the synthesis of all heresies. What that means is that every error that the devil has ever cooked up is now percolating throughout our society. And if you thought, if you think it was bad during the Arian heresy or during the, the Reformation, or you named the error, if you think it was bad then, it is immensely worse now, because we have to deal with every one of them at one time. And I can tell you, our spiritual leaders are not up to the task. They're not helping us. And the very fact that laymen are out here floundering around trying to help one another kind of shows you how bad of a state we really are in.
Yeah, I wanted to fill up my backpack with some waters and my last pack of cigarettes and head up towards Brother Andre.
Yeah.
See if he'd take me. But anyway, I got to go. I appreciate you guys being there. Thanks for letting me vent, and I do thank you all.
God bless you, Eric. I'll pray for you, my friend. Bye-bye. Well, man, I tell you what. I don't get as many phone calls as I'd like. And when I get a phone call like that, it makes every bit of it worthwhile, okay? So whether you thought, oh, well, David, you should have spent so much time with Eric. You can't do psychological counseling on the air. No, you know what? I can't. I'm not even qualified. I'm a counselor at law, not a counselor in psychology. But here's a man who's struggling to do the right thing, who's hurting in the process, and as a Christian brother, I'm going to do something with him. I'm going to spend the time with him, and it's rewarding. I hope it was helpful to him. It's extremely rewarding to me to know that not only is the message going out from the Crusade Channel, but people are adopting it so much in their lives that they're willing right now to sacrifice and to suffer these real trials and tribulations of modern living and try to navigate a course to some kind of sanity and peace. It's tough, guys. It is really tough out there. Let's all say a little prayer for Eric. I will, one of my favorites is the, and this is really the time because Pentecost is next Sunday. Come, Holy Ghost, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your spirit and they shall be created and you shall renew the face of the earth. Wow. Man, 844-527-8723. That prayer was for you, Eric. I hope the Holy Ghost fills you with vim and vigor to keep fighting the battle, and I will continue to pray for you. 844-527-8723. You can email me, david@tffco.com. And by the way, that offer is really open to anybody. I don't do this show to get business, and I can't say I get a whole lot of business out of this show. I do this show because I'm trying to add to Mike's crusade about the truth. One of the major problems we have is a misunderstanding of what money is, and money is being used to manipulate the entire world. I can prove it. I've already done multiple shows on proving it from different perspectives, different aspects, but the international finance cartel is in great control of the media and our governments, and they are causing havoc. And we've got to find a way to extract ourselves and to create true money. And right now we're having very, very limited success. But so if you want me to help you to defend your own earnings while you are in the battle with me here, then you can call me or email me. Emailing would be the best for now just because it keeps it simple. David@tffco.com. Go to my website, too, if you want to check it out and see more. The Marion option, you got that right. So Mike just waved an answer to me. In the Founders Trading Post, there is a book called The Marion Option.
No. Here's what happened.
So I told Maggie O'Connell earlier today that Mrs. Gress signed a book to me.
This is
I forgot to tell her because she already there's two boxes of books.
Yeah.
She already boxed up a whole book. They gone.
We're shipping them.
Right, for shipping.
Good.
So I thought about it and went, wait a minute. I asked Carrie to sign a book for me. So
yours is boxed
Maggie
up.
O'Connell came in, I said, I know you're going to kill me, but I asked Carrie to sign a book for me personally. And I forgot to tell you. And of course, I got the, what's the opposite of the heat miser? What's the cold guy in the new year?
Cold miser.
Is it a cold miser? No. Mr. Frost, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Mr. Frost. I got the Mr. Frost stare. I mean, if she was if Maggie O'Connell was a mutant, she'd have torn me into a stalactite icicle right then.
She's not undoing all this.
Well,
there's no way she's undoing all.
So she goes and gets box number two, and starts taking books out. And the first one that she opened up before sending it was.
Oh, thank goodness! Thank goodness! So
Anthony of Padawan.
So she was saying. What she say? Jesus is looking out for me, is what she said. I said, Mary's looking out for you. So, to you and I's earlier conversation, just see, there's still a little bit of providence left around here. All's not lost.
Well, can you read what she says, what she wrote, or is it too private?
For Mike and Candace, thank you for all that you do for the church, the world, and authors like me. God bless Carrie Gress.
Very nice.
Isn't that sweet?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought it up because I was going to do a little promo anyway right now. I don't know if you noticed, Mike, but for the last couple of Wednesdays I've come in here, I'm always wearing my...
You're always in uniform.
I'm wearing a very dandy and dapper
Crusade
Channel shirt.
A dress down Wednesdays?
Yes. I'm wearing my Crusade Channel shirt. You know where the Crusade Channel shirt comes from, right?
Yes.
It comes from the Founders Trading Post.
It does come from the Founders.
You know where Dr. Carrie Gress's book comes from, right? With a signature inside of it. It comes from the Founders Trading Post. By the way, for this quiz, all the answers are the exact same.
By the way, Maggie O'Connell just told me there's only 12 left of the second order of 40.
So there you go, guys. You got, what, probably another half a day before you're gone.
Yeah, so if you Latin Mass Society people want autographed copies, you better order today.
So you know where you can get my book, The Financial Saying Three's Lessons? The answer? The Founders Trading Post. Do you know what you could do to help the Crusade Channel? Is you could buy things from, and the answer is the Founders Trading Post.
Founders Trading Post.
Yeah, you notice that the answers to this quiz are all the same. the whole thing is always the Founders Trading Post. Mike Church, here's another question on the quiz. Where does Maggie O'Connell work? The answer, the Founders Trading Post. There is a plethora, I like that word, I always use it. There's a plethora of things in the Founders Trading Post. Cigars, shirts, like my Crusade Channel shirt I'm wearing right now. The fleeces that you can get for that cold weather days, and boy, are they ever warm. Crusade Channel mugs, you got the bumper stickers, the DVDs, the audio. It is just a cornucopia of items ready for you to purchase. And like Mike said, 12 more books with Dr. Cary Gress's signature on it, the Marriott option. So we were just talking to Eric. Eric is struggling, like all of us are, it seems. By the way, Eric, I hope you don't think you're terminally different either. So many of us are struggling with those things, so don't get down and think that you're some oddball. You're not. You're not. We're all in that circumstance, and so this brotherhood's got to support each other. Cary Gress has an option. She calls it the Marian option on how we can fix this world. Our Lady even said that the answers to this problem are as simple as praying to her. You don't believe in the power of prayer? Fine, I don't care. But have you ever tried it? Have you ever tried it? So go to the Founders Trading Post. Everything you buy from the Founders Trading Post helps support this cause. I was asking you to try to find us some new members, but you can't find us some new members, but you do have maybe $20 and you want a good book to help you kind of get your vision on this world properly set. How about the Marian option? How about Dr. Cary Gress's signature in it and some prayers for the world after you read the book? Because she's going to, of course, inform you that this is what Our Lady requested. Check it out, Founders Trading Post. Go to VeritasRadioNetwork.com, CrusadeChannel.com, MikeChurchShow.com, and anywhere you see the word shop, click on it, and you're in there buying the stuff from us. All right. 844-527-8723 is how you can call in, like our good friend Eric. You can email me, david@tffco.com. Well, I'm going to start this article, and then we're going to take a little break. But let's start. I told you I talked about the retirement ambush. If there is a story that needs to be told, and you know what irritates me? I've been telling this story for almost as long as I've been in the business, which is going on, 19 years. Okay, I started in 1998 with Prudential. So, yeah, I'm right at 19 years now, okay? I've been telling this story for a long time. It probably went all the way back to 1998, but let's just say, it probably was darn near 2000 because that's when they had the first crash, right? The dot-com bubble. So probably for 17 years, I've been telling this story, and now it's big news that someone else is telling the story. Now, I'm not looking for the acclaim. That's not what I'm looking for. What I'm saying is that this thing was obvious, and it's been obvious for a long, long time, but no one wants to admit it. Here, what am I talking about? What am I talking about? What is so obvious, Dave, that our quote-unquote retirement system is, one, a joke, okay? Two, it's a sham. And three, it's going to cause monumental problems. Okay. Let me read this article or bits of it called Broken Eggs, What Happens When Your Retirement is Ambushed. Okay? This is by Mandy Woodruff of Yahoo Finance. It's a bit old now. I'm surprised. I didn't realize it was this old. September 26, 2014. So we're talking about 3 years, 2.5 years ago. Or three, whatever. Okay. A decade ago, Julia and Bob Beardsley were on their way to what they predicted would be a perfectly comfortable retirement. Okay, right away, I'm going to get all angry on the article, right? Which is this. Retirement is a relatively new idea. Most people never heard of that word until, well, till FDR. But now it's the end-all, be-all of existence. So they were looking for a perfectly comfortable retirement. The San Francisco Bay couple had diligently saved 10% of their income from day one of their 30-year marriage. Well, good for them. But a perfect storm. Now here's, and by the way, don't miss the point. Notice where they stored their money. It's always a big issue. People, one of the biggest issues of finance is, hey, should I save? Yes. But more importantly, once you start saving, where do you store your wealth? There is no perfect place. There is no absolutely safe place. But once you understand all the dynamics of the various places you can store your money, you'll know what to do with it. And then I hope you get to work on fixing the problem that's causing it to be screwy in the first place. But a perfect storm of events, 3 job layoffs in 8 years for Bob, a costly cancer diagnosis for Julia, and a financial crisis all but obliterated their nest egg. Let me take issue real quick with just the language we use. Nest egg. What does a bird do? A bird builds a nest. What does a bird? Why does a bird build a nest? Because it's their little home. What does the bird put in the nest? Eggs. What do eggs make? Money. No. They don't make money. They make more birds. Eggs make more birds. Now, we want a retirement from our nest egg, but we don't have an egg. Money is not fecund. Money is not fertile. Money is actually sterile. It doesn't produce anything. Now, people say, oh, it does, Dave. Interesting. I know. And maybe, just maybe, that whole mentality is part of the problem. St. Thomas Aquinas was very clear. It's this desire to make something that's sterile into something fertile that is the root of all evil. The love of that. I know you're going to go, I'm not seeing it, Dave. I can't get it. Money is a consumable. Money is meant to be, when it's used, it's spent up. To demand something more back from that operation is immoral because it's impossible and also because it's theft. That's the basis of the ban on usury. Go look it up. I promise you it's there. You can even read a little bit about it in my book, Financial Sanity and 3 Easy Lessons. I wrote an essay at the back I think you might like called The Banker's Bubble. Let's go on with the article. But we don't have it. See, well, no, let me finish that point. So nest egg, right? We have a little nest egg. Oh, how nice. What's your nest egg? My nest egg is $250,000 of those individual dollars. What is your nest egg? My nest egg is $765,000. What does that produce? Well, you can run the numbers, 4%, 6%, 10%. You pick out the yield number. But my question is, what's really in the nest, and can it really be that fertile? Well, Bob and Julia Beardsley found out it wasn't. When Bob celebrated his 66th birthday this year, he and Julia were no longer planning for retirement. They were barely scraping by. Their 401k, reduced by half when the financial market crashed, were suddenly their main source of income. Bob estimates they spent nearly one-third of what was left in their accounts simply covering their household expenses. Now, here's some interesting things. It says the Beardsley are among a half dozen people featured in a film called Broken Eggs, a new documentary. By the way, they even use the word egg there, you see? Broken Eggs. It's not broken eggs. It's a broken system where we think money is eggs. The Beardsleys are among a half dozen people featured in Broken Eggs, a new documentary highlighting the plight of workers struggling to prepare for retirement in the wake of the Great Recession. 40% of boomers say they plan on working through retirement, and more than one-third of workers say they have saved less than $1,000 for their golden years. Wow. Okay, Now, where did this movie come from? Again, I'm going to try to probably get this guy on my show. The film was the brainchild of an executive producer, Chad Parks, a longtime financial advisor and president of the online 401k. In 2012, Parks spearheaded a six-week road trip across America during which he, a film crew, and two co-producers filmed conversations about retirement with dozens of individuals and families in 12 cities across the country. The film consists of a selection of those interviews. What I want to know is, did they propose counter solutions to these budding retirees and get reactions to those counter solutions? Because here's my experience. Every time I talk about this topic and the inevitable conclusion, which is, oh, we're just on the wrong track. Like, we got to change fundamentally what we do and go a different direction. Every time I describe that and that conclusion starts to kind of, that inkling kind of gets in the person's mind, you know what I get? I either get a runaway or a, oh, well, I can't do that. That might be something my kids will do maybe, but I can't. We don't want to accept personal responsibility, and we want to keep dreaming about the nest eggs. Let's take a little break. When we come back, we'll finish the story on the broken eggs, get to this day in money history, maybe answer the financial question today, and do a whole bunch of other stuff right here on the True Money Show Crusade Channel, King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers.